This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to worship this morning. It is good to see you all on this Logo Sunday. I'm looking forward to having our young people lead us in various parts of the worship this morning. And I wanted to be sure and thank the Mid-Highs for making cookies for during the fellowship hour. The really big ones, they made those. I saw them on plates earlier. They're beautiful. If you are visiting with us this morning, there are green folders in the pew pocket in front of you that say welcome. Inside is further information about the congregation and welcome cards that if you fill it out and place it in the offering plate later, it allow us to stay in touch with you. A couple of other announcements about our life together. Following today's worship service, we begin a four-part study on the Syrian refugee crisis. The book is called The Burden of Memory, The Hope of the Gospel, and it is part of a study that the whole presbytery is doing as part of encouraging and developing our partnership with two churches that we are already in partnership with, one in Aleppo and one in Tyre. So hope that you can come join us for lunch and study today and then several other Sundays in the future. Also on our 150th anniversary celebration is coming up. We're having a dinner on Saturday, November 9th at 6:30, and the Congregational Life Committee would really like to know if you're planning on coming so that they will plan appropriately for the number of folks. So you can call the office and let Nikki know. And then on Sunday, the 10th, we will have one combined service at 9:30 for all of us to celebrate together. The handbells will play, choir will sing, praise band will play. It will be a lot of music and a lot of celebrating. So I hope you're able to be with us. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the introit.
Good morning, everybody. Please join me in the call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made.
A day for praise and prayer, a day for gratitude and generosity.
This is the time God has given us.
A time for singing and silence, a time for speaking and listening.
This is the life to which God calls us.
A life of humility and service, a life of faith and trust.
Turn your hymnals to page 370. This is My Father's World.
Please join me in the call to reconciliation. Seeking to follow Jesus, other wander down the warm roads. Impatient with God, sends we rush off to do things our way. We love the best, our gorgeous, the love of God's hope for our lives. Please join me to the prayer of confession. Your words give us other life, so we might be reformed. But we words end in the changing words. Your words are often to us, so we might be transformed. But if we are focused on confirming our words, your words are spoken to lead us on. But we hold our words in the chest, giving us God and wonder. Do not show presence, but continue to touch us with your faithful mercy. Show us how to live and live in our faith, even as we show judgments and grace through the life of Jesus Christ, the Lord our Savior.
Jesus reminds us that we are to be resolute in our lives of faithfulness and service. The good news is God is steadfast in filling us with love and grace.
We are forgiven people. May we live as sisters and brothers in Christ, God's children in word and deed, in hope and joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.
After his resurrection, the risen Christ greeted his disciples, saying, "Peace be with you." As his faithful disciples, let us share signs of peace. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Peace be with you.
Okay.
Yeah, watch yourself.
Would the children please join me? They're out. There are children, but they're practicing. So, so do you guys want to join me? Oh, and there's Spencer. So in the scripture reading, we're going to hear in a little bit that the elementary kids are going to do for us, and they're out practicing right now because they're doing like a little skit for us. We're going to hear about a judge who was not maybe the best of judges. So it was his job to be the judge, and you all know what a judge does, right? I mean, they make sure the laws are followed and help people out, right? So there was a lady who was not being treated fairly, and she went to the judge and said, "I'm being mistreated, I need justice." And he said, yeah, whatever, and kind of shooed her aside and ignored her. So she came back and asked again and again and again and again. And finally the judge said, "Oh, okay, I'm going to see that she has justice, that we do right by her, so she leaves me alone." So she just stops coming to me. Now, the reason he told this story was to help us understand that even the judge, who maybe wasn't the best judge, did the right thing in the end. So we need to know that our Lord, no matter how many, that when we ask him, when we go to him for things we need, he's obviously going to listen to us, right? Because he is the Lord our Father. So I want you to remember that when you're maybe having trouble in school, with some homework or a class, or maybe you have a little fight with your friends and things aren't going very rough, or maybe something's going on between you and your sisters and brothers. You know, it's important to remember that you can go to the Lord and pray for help with your problems, and he will help you to help settle those things and help you to work through that. Now, it doesn't mean you're always going to get exactly what you want, because the Lord knows what's best for you, and he knows how to get that for you. So sometimes it might not be exactly what you want, but the Lord is going to do what's best for you. So always remember that, to pray pray consistently. Remember that the Lord is with us, and he's going and there to take care of us, always giving us what we need. All right, so let's say a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us and always showing us your love. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Eternal wisdom from generation to generation, you teach your people the way to live. Through words that are ancient, you speak your living word. Speak to us now that all we need to honor you and walk in your way with honesty and the humbleness of heart. Amen. The first reading today is coming from Psalms 121. I lift my eyes up to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Thank you.
the children come forward to read our scripture for us this morning, I'd just like to remind you that I think it was 3 weeks ago we started a series on faith, the building blocks of faith. Donna has so beautifully illustrated it for us up here with the different blocks. The first week we talked about faith, about what floats your boat, that faith keeps us afloat in the storms of life. And then the next Sunday was faith is for service, not for status or prestige. Last week, faith is thanksgiving. And this week, faith is persistent. Are you ready?
Then Jesus told his disciples, Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable.
Yay, a story!
To show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God or cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For sometimes he refused. But finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming."
And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?"
I told the folks in the first service that they were really going to be missing out on not getting to hear the scripture done by the elementary students. It's not something you'll quickly forget. Thank you. You all did a wonderful job. The widow. She's feisty. Right? She's persistent. Once again, Jesus uses a figure from the very edges of society to teach his followers a lesson. John Pilch tells us that the word for widow in Hebrew means silent one, or one unable to speak. In the ancient patriarchal Mediterranean world, males alone played a public role. Women did not speak on their own behalf. So the silent one is certainly acting outside her place when she finds her voice and dares to speak up for herself. She's unwilling to accept the status quo silently and passively. She's motivated in part because she knows it is the responsibility of this judge to uphold justice for the powerless and voiceless like her. The widow cries out persistently in a way that is so far outside acceptable behavior of that time that the judge is actually afraid that she might accost him and give him a black eye, as it says in some translations. Go look, it says that. So he relents, not because he's just, but because he is simply worn down. She's feisty. She's persistent. And she appears to be the hero of our story this morning. I read a delightful story of Mother Teresa that sounds very much like this morning's parable. Edward Bennett Williams was a legendary Washington criminal lawyer. At one time, Williams owned the Washington Redskins and the Baltimore Orioles, and he was the lawyer for Frank Sinatra and Richard Nixon, among other powerful people. Evan Thomas's biography of Williams tells the story of when Mother Teresa visited Williams because she was raising money for an AIDS hospice. Williams was in charge of a small charitable foundation that she hoped would help. Before she arrived for the appointment, Williams said to his partner, Paul Dietrich, "You know, Paul, AIDS is not my favorite disease. I don't really want to make a contribution, but I've got this Catholic saint coming to see me, and I don't know what to do." They agreed that they would be polite, hear her out, but then say no. Well, Mother Teresa arrived, and she was like a little sparrow sitting on the other side of the lawyer's big mahogany desk. She made her appeal for the hospice, and William said, "We're touched by your appeal, but no." Can you imagine saying no to Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa said simply, "Let us pray." Williams looked at Dietrich. They bowed their heads. And after the prayer, Mother Teresa made the same pitch, word for word, for the hospice. Again, Williams politely said no. Mother Teresa said, "Let us pray." Williams, exasperated, looked up at the ceiling and says, "All right, get my checkbook." I love it. A modern-day telling, enactment of Jesus' parable. Mother Teresa, a voice for the powerless, the discarded and the forgotten, striding through the halls of power, seeking justice for the victims of injustice. Williams was disinterested in her cause, but she would not be refused. She knew the pain of those dying with AIDS, alone and uncared for. She knew that Williams Foundation could help fund the hospice, which would bring them comfort. His refusal was not going to stop her. She's feisty. She's persistent. Maybe that's what Jesus wants. Pray like that. Pray like Mother Teresa. Pray like the widow. Cry out and pound on the doors of heaven with insistence. Pound on the doors until our hands are bruised and our voices are hoarse. We walk away from this parable, presuming that we are to be persistent, even feisty, in prayer, because God will not otherwise respond. We picture God as the unjust judge withholding from us rather than helping us. We've read this parable as an instruction to nag God with our repeated questions and requests, so that God will eventually give in and give us what we want. But is that really who God is? Distant, disengaged, self-absorbed? Jesus insists that God is nothing like the unjust judge. God will not delay in helping. God will quickly grant justice. But what kind of hope is Jesus offering? If he's pledging even speedier relief to persistent prayers than the widow got from the unjust judge, I'm not necessarily feeling relieved. We each have prayers that seem to have been ignored, that we have persisted in praying over and over and over. If it's a speedy return of Jesus to the earth so that justice is fulfilled, 20 centuries is a long time to wait. How can this parable be meaningful when we have all experienced times when God has not fixed things for us, even when we ask persistently? And when most of us are not exactly waiting on rooftops for Jesus' return. By the time the Gospel of Luke is written, the early church was starting to feel discouraged. They had been waiting on rooftops for Jesus' return, and they were tired of waiting for the promised fulfillment. They were tired of being persecuted as a tiny minority in a great, big, powerful empire. They were anxious and suffering. Today's parable is about that waiting and about not being discouraged, not losing heart, persisting in faith. Jesus seems to anticipate their dilemma and ours when he wonders aloud whether when he comes again, anyone will still have faith. As usual, he turns the tables. Stop speculating about when I will return and start praying faithfully now. The answers may not come when we think they should. The God of Isaiah reminds us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Or as the hymn says, 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. It's hard to take the long view when we're praying our hearts out, bruising our hands with continual pounding on heaven's door. Jesus tells us that this parable is about our need to pray always and not to lose heart. That word need has linguistic connections to being willed by God. So prayer is needed or willed by God because it connects us with God and God's purposes. It sustains our faith while we wait. Our prayer life sustains us even in the worst of times, and it keeps us close to God. I like the way Barbara Brown Taylor explains it. She says, "You are going to trust the process, regardless of what comes of it, because the process itself gives you life. The process keeps you engaged with what matters most to you, so you do not lose heart." See, this parable is about God and about Jesus returning to find people who have held fast and who have, through everything, trusted God. Rather than thinking it's a matter of getting or not getting what we ask for, Taylor says, prayer keeps our hearts chasing after God's heart. It's how we bother God, and it's how God bothers us back. "There's nothing that works any better than that," she says. Prayer shapes us. It molds us. It's a process of communication in which God transforms our hearts so that we see the injustice in the world around us and we recognize it as contrary to God's purposes. It causes us to cry out to God, "Give me justice," with all of the feistiness and persistence of the widow or Mother Teresa. When we do that, God shapes our heart to care about the things God cares about. It's how God writes God's law on our hearts and how we become more and more God's people. each time we cry out in persistence to God, who is not the unjust judge, but the victor over all that would harm or destroy. We're assured that this God has a future with hope for us. As we continue to trust that future, we have faith that that day will come and God's purposes will be fulfilled. We may pray silently or speak or sing our prayer, but persistent prayer becomes the prayers of our hands and our feet. The Reverend Billy Graham has said, "The most eloquent prayer is the prayer through hands that heal and bless." Rabbi Abraham Heschel, who marched with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., said of his marching, "I felt as though my feet were praying." And there's a prayer in the Book of Common Prayer, which ends, "For all things for which we pray, give us the will to seek to bring them about." Persistent prayer transforms our hearts until our prayers become action. Jesus says to us in this parable, "See the injustices and the needs around you, and pray always that your heart would keep chasing after God's heart." Be persistent, even feisty. Beat a path to God's door, but don't lose heart because God is not the unjust judge. God is equally persistent in loving this world and has a hopeful future for it. Trust God for that day to come. Trust the process. Pray with your lips. Pray with your hands and feet. Perhaps then, when the Son of Man returns, he will find faith on the earth. To the glory of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please join me in the affirmation of faith taken from a brief statement of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's prayer is in the form of a litany. When I say, "We pray to you, O God," please respond with, "Hear our prayer." That churches of all traditions may discover their unity in Christ and exercise their gifts in service of all, we pray to you, O God. Hear our prayer. That the earth may be freed from war, famine and disease, and the air, soil, and waters cleansed of poison. We pray to you, O God. Hear our prayer. That those who govern and maintain peace in every land may exercise their powers in obedience to your commands. We pray to you, O God. Hear our prayer. That you will strengthen this nation to pursue just priorities so that the races may be reconciled, the young educated, and the old cared for, the hungry filled, and the homeless housed, and the sick comforted and healed. We pray to you, O God. Hear our prayer. That you will preserve all who live and work in this community in peace and safety. We pray to you, O God. Hear our prayer. That you will comfort and empower those who face any difficulty or trial, the sick, the disabled, the poor, the oppressed, those who grieve, and those in prison. We pray to you, O God. Hear our prayer. Merciful God, as a potter fashions a vessel from humble clay, you form us into a new creation. Shape us day by day through the cross of Christ your Son, until we pray as continually as we breathe, and all our acts are prayer. Through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give of our tithes and offerings, that's right, and the children are singing for us during the offertory. So children, come forward, please. But as we prepare to give our gifts in song, financially, our lives, I wanted to point out that as you leave today, there should be a letter, an envelope addressed to you. If not, there are extras there. It is the invitation to this year's opportunity to pledge. We will receive those pledges next Sunday as an act of thanksgiving and dedication. So let us give a token of what we have to God in gratitude. Let us pray. God of all good gifts, you bless us with so much to share. Use the gift of our money and the gifts of our lives to bring your healing and hope, your justice and peace to our neighbors near and far. Amen. Go out into the world as God's beloved children, persisting in prayer with your lips, with your hands, with your feet. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.